All right, Reggie, how you doing, my friend? Ready for a little podcasting action? Very good. All right, put it down in the books. Episode 386. 386. All right, good. Star, smile, strong. All right, get ready, Reggie. Hit that record button. Are we ready to go? Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNradio.com. Oops, okay, that's wrong. Sorry, Reg. I told you, I'm still not used to that. Let's do it again. 3, 2, 1. I'm sorry, wait. All right. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNradio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. Of course, don't forget. While it's important to listen, I also need you to get out there and tell your friends and family and anybody who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. And if you like what you hear, whether you've been listening for 2 months or 2 years or 10 years, you can always go to WGNradio.com, go to the podcast section, hit the prompt for this podcast, and lo and behold, what you will find. Tons and tons of previous podcasts waiting for your listening pleasure. So go out there and you just scroll down and load more. Scroll down and load more. Lots of previous podcasts in there for you to find out where we've been so you know where we're going. Right now, we are going to episode 486. So this week, I wanted to talk about something that was both concerning, funny, and sad. Not necessarily in that order, but certainly of concern enough that I thought I should talk about it, and also reaffirming of something that I've been talking to you about on and off for several years now, and I think it's almost something that I really want to convey to people to understand how vigilant we all must be, especially in today's world, when we are out on that internet, on that social media. As I say at the beginning of this podcast, you know, scroll down and load more. Well, it's not just for this podcast, right? I mean, that's what we do pretty much on a daily basis. And I just want to send out a little warning shot again with something that a lot of times when I talk about the decline of news reporting and news gathering and journalism in general, and I get on my soapbox, I'm assuming that at times some people are listening, if they are still listening, and saying, "Oh, Jim, well, this just because you were a journalist before, this is kind of close to your heart, and so to you this is a big deal. To me, this isn't that a big deal. I get why it's a big deal to you from a principled standpoint, but from my, now I'm talking as you, but from my daily world, I see your point to some extent, but I think you're overblowing it, and you're putting too much importance on it, and it doesn't really matter that much in the grand scheme. And I see your points maybe, but I think there's also some flawed logic there, and I just think, you might be a little too passionate about it because it's a little close to your heart. And I understand that view. And I understand the skepticism, and certainly there might be, I mean, look, whatever we have firsthand experience or knowledge about, especially if it's something that we have done or do for a living, something that we've been trained in, then yeah, those red flags on things like that go up for us and mean more to us than they would to another person. That's just human behavior. That's just kind of common sense. It's not odd. It depends on what your passion is. Whatever your passion may be, you obviously know a lot more knowledge about it than the average person. And if you see something that's affecting it, you think, wow, you know, there's a problem here. And I just want to let people know about it so that, A, they don't fall into a trap or something. It could be anything. Look, if you're somebody that puts up roofs, for example, and there's something going on in the roofing industry that you know about, you know, be careful. I've worked in the roofing world for 25 years, and I notice that in today's roofing world, they're doing something different than they used to, or they're using some different materials, or some roofers do it this way, and it's not right. So when you hire a roofer, make sure they're doing this, this, and this, so that your roof doesn't leak. Or, there's something about, I worked in the car industry, and I noticed this, and, whatever it may be, or I'm in the marketing department, whatever it is, there may be some things that that you have an expertise in, that you have extra knowledge in, because either A, it might be a hobby of yours, or even more, it may be something that you've done for your living, your livelihood, that you obviously were trained in. I mean, when a doctor talks about something, be careful, because this is going on. Doctors are starting to do this. Well, hey, I mean, we look at that as valuable information. If you watch the TV news and things like that, we're always looking for expert talking heads, if you will, to come on and explain something that might be a trend that's happening that we know. And it's usually about people that have an expertise for whatever reason in that field. I mean, that's normal, business as usual. I might at times focus on what's going on in the media side. First of all, A, because this podcast is a form of the media, right? I mean, it is an element now of social media. This whole genre of podcasting didn't even exist 25, 27, 28 years ago. This is a relatively, as it stands, communication platform, this entire genre didn't even exist, say, 30 years ago. I know that's hard to believe, especially today, since podcasting is so prevalent. But once again, this goes back to the early days and early acceptance and widespread acceptance of the internet, and then finding new uses for it. And so if you remember, things started out with a blog, which was basically just somebody else. If you look at the genesis of the kind of social media world, first of all, we should say that term is the established term. Before I start to go off here, let me just explain where I'm going here. I have talked about many times on this podcast about what I have seen as somebody that was a trained journalist and was a working journalist for 10 years. And even though I haven't been a journalist per se in many years, I have worked within the media my entire career, more than what, 35, 36, 37 years. In fact, if you go back to when I was still in college, when I first started writing a music column for a local newspaper when I was still in college, getting paid for it, it's almost a 40-year career, and so I've been around it my entire career. Everything I've done has had something to do with the media, whether it's been on the radio or television or print, or in public relations, dealing with media on the other side of providing information for the media, as well as having been an actual reporter and editor and writer and journalist and things like that. So I do have the insight and the training that I was telling you about in terms of having some a passion for this, obviously, as a young kid, and then getting professional training and then actually doing it for a job and doing it for a job and being around it and surrounded by it for most of my adult life. And so I hope I bring some expertise and some credibility to this topic. And what I wanted to talk about, and I have talked about in the past, is how it's the journalistic principles have been slowly eroding, especially in the last 15 years, with the rise of social media, which, as I said many times before, was an outshoot of really the smartphone. Social media existed; it was out there, even in the early to mid 90s. But really, when that smartphone took place, and people had the power of a computer in their pocket, in their purse, then of course all bets were off. And the reason I'm bringing this up again, and I've spoken about this at certain times when things have happened out in the world here, to give people an idea. And basically, I'm doing this not necessarily to rain down doom and gloom, but what I'm trying to do is pass this on so that you, the consumer of information, can be a little more educated and be a little more savvy when you're out there, out on the internet, out there, on social media, and taking in information. We've been hearing about misinformation. We've been hearing about fake news, and that is slowly been, I guess the word is invading. Our world of journalism and our world of news gathering and our world of news reporting. And that's a fact. And to me, the internet has made us, and social media has made us, so informationally dependent. I mean, we all know now that the smartphone is our default behavior. That is our default behavior. Having this powerful tool in our hands or in our access so easy, it has become our default behavior. There's no question about that. Just go to any giant public area and watch people. They're not talking to each other. They're not reading books. They're looking at their phones. It's not just a behavior of young people. It's a behavior of everybody. Go into any kind of public place, restaurant, airport, movie theater, anywhere you go. And even if you're supposed to be paying attention to something else, you're not. How many times have we seen now, if you're on a highway and you're driving behind somebody, and even if it's bumper-to-bumper traffic, and then all of a sudden the traffic begins to move, how many times have you been up behind somebody, and you could see now the traffic is moving, the cars to your right and to your left have been moving. Let's say you're in the middle lane, and the traffic on the left and the traffic on the right starts to move, and you're stuck behind a car, and you could see past that car in your lane, and you could see the cars moving there as well, but the car right in front of you is not moving. And you're like, well, what's going on? What's wrong with this person? And then finally they start to move. Well, clearly, when the car was stopped, they put their head down and they're checking their phone. And then while their head is down and their attention is on the phone, they're not aware of what's happening around them. And so they're not moving forward. If they had no other distractions and their face was looking straight out the windshield, once they saw the traffic moving, they would move with it. So clearly, something else is going on. And especially if they're in the car by themselves, they're not attending to a child or talking to somebody else. You know what they're doing. And all of a sudden, you will see their head pop up, whoop, and then all of a sudden, they'll make the quick move to you know, speed up and fill the gap in again. I mean, that's just common sense. There's no question that the smartphone has become our default behavior. And most likely, of our routine, we start, you know, because of our narcissism, of course, we start inward and look outward in our behaviors on the smartphone. So first, we will check our texts to see if anybody has texted us. The next thing we will do is check our email to make sure that that nobody has emailed us. We know that maybe somebody hasn't called us because we would have heard the ring. And so then after we check our personal contacts or our personal informational little sites there, then we go bigger and say, well, what's going on with the rest of the world? Nothing's going on with me right now. So I guess let me take a look. Let me take a wider look. And boom, that's when we go out then to the internet. We look at our Instagram, accounts or our Facebook accounts or our Snapchat account, whatever it is. Or we go to Google or wherever you might go on a search engine to see, well, what else is going on now? It's kind of a three-step process, you know. But if we start internally about our own thing, we're more worried about, has anybody called me? Has anybody texted me? Has anybody done anything, emailed me? And then we get wider. And so I want to provide these little insights when I see them happen because it is so prevalent in today's world. We all do it. I do it. I'm not putting myself above any of this. But what I do want to be able to do is to provide some of that insight that I may have gathered through my life to help you. So the same way the roofer might help you to say, hey, if you have to change your roof, watch out for this. Or the same way that the plumber might say, well, here's a tip for you in case this happens and things like that. Well, my world is the media. My world, my expertise is that. And if I see something happening, then I want to pass on that advice or at least that warning shot if I see something that could be worth passing on. To make sure that you understand what you're seeing. And especially in today's world, all we're hearing about is AI. I've spoken about AI a few months ago on the podcast, and it's only becoming more prevalent as expected. And now when you go on any search engine, if you ask any question, the first, think about the subtleties of what's happening in how we are information gathering, right? So before, in the last 6 to 8 months, especially, maybe even a year, it's been that subtle. When you would go on a search engine and you type in a question, you wanted to find out something about anything, whatever it is, boom, it would come up with a list of sites to visit, a list of comments, but basically a list of websites that have some kind of the information that you're talking about. But now when you do that, the first list is kind of like a paragraph. It's almost like a little summary of information. And then after that, you'll start to see the little headlines of websites. That used to be the first thing that came up. But now, most likely, if you use Google or any kind of a search engine, the first thing that pops up is this little paragraph of information that sometimes will have something highlighted as well in a different color. But it's a little summary, a little paragraph. And then below it, it'll say see more. And then it'll be this kind of bullet-pointed summary of information. Okay, that's AI. If you didn't know that, once again, people might be at different levels of their savviness about what's going on the internet or on search engines or on information communication. That's AI. You might say, well, I don't know anything about AI. It's not really in my world. Well, it is. As simple as that. That little summary is AI first taking care of your request by going out to the internet. That's how fast this, that's why everybody talks about AI and they're like, what? Well, you know, oh my gosh, it's going to take over this. It's going to take over that because its computing speed is just amazing. It's crazy. It's unheard of. I mean, think about how fast you type in a question in your search engine. You hit the button and let's go, you know, and boom, something pops up. Before, it was a list of websites, but here there's not only the information of places to go for you to find the information, they've already, the internet and the AI technology has not only found some places where you could go to do some research, it's found the places you can go. And it's done the preliminary research for you in that same instant. There's a new layer there. That's AI. So yeah, it's in our world now. And we're seeing the way information now is being gathered and communicated to us. That's a new way. Now, sometimes you read that and you go, I know this, and you go and you still say, but okay, that's fine. So there, you can start to identify an AI kind of response, because all it's doing is being very, kind of concise, in going out there, finding the pertinent information, putting it together in a paragraph or so. And it might be something, oh, yeah, I know that. I'm looking for something, you know, a little deeper than that. But AI is first going to get that first kind of, that first glance of information to pass it on to you. But my point is, it's stuff like this that maybe you weren't aware of. Same way that if you have an expertise in something else and you tell me whether you're a mechanic or you're a doctor or you're, a plumber or whatever you might be, you can, or a lawyer or whatever it is, you are providing, you know, you can provide much more expertise and much more insight and much more knowledge about something that you either do or are well schooled in because of personal information, whether it's a hobby or professional information, it's your livelihood. And so that's what I wanted to do today, because I saw something occurred over the last week or so that really, not only once again, kind of confirms the warning shots that I've been sending out here about, in my view, the decline of journalism, and that might even be a soft description of it. It could be the death of journalism, if you really want to get dramatic about it. And have you ever known me to be dramatic about something? but this, you know, I have given hypotheticals in the past when I've seen something happen, and to say, hey, be a lookout here. Here's what's going on in the journalism world, and be careful. I'm saying this because, and now it's getting a little more serious, because of the fact that we are becoming so dependent, our smartphone and our computer have become so dependent on it, so addicted to it. It's so much a part of our almost our physicality. We're holding this thing constantly. If we're not holding it, It's somewhere in really close access. I mean, watch the behavior of people, of how quickly they know exactly where to go for their cell phone. If it's not in their hands, they know exactly where it is. And if you say, "Oh, do you have your phone?" Boom, It's almost like a gunslinger in a Western movie. I think we should probably start to time how fast people can get to their cell phones, because it's a reflex action now. It's like the gunslinger when they used to have those shootouts at the OK Corral, and who was quicker to have the gunslingers had their hands sort of on their thighs near their hips, and they walked toward each other, and then there was a count, and then whoever could go and get that gun out of their holster and have it and shoot it, boom, you know, they won the duel. And that's what some people look like today when you say, oh, can you check your phone on something? Boom. That right hand or that left hand goes right to the pocket, right to the purse. It is lightning fast. It is gunslinger like. So if you don't have your smartphone in your hand, you know exactly where it is. There's no fumbling for that thing. You might say, do you have do you have your keys? Do you have your this? Do you have your that? Oh yeah, wait a minute. You're almost like Columbo. I know I had it here somewhere, and you're going through 17 different pockets or you're digging in your purse looking, I know that I've got this in there. No, but you know where that phone is. It is even if it's buried in your purse, women, you know exactly where it's buried in your purse. You might not know where the chiclets are, or the or your keys are, or your lipstick is, or your Tic Tacs are. You might not know where that is, but you know where that cell phone is. Guys, you might say, "Geez, I think I have some change." But you don't know. Let me look. But boom, you know exactly where your cell phone is. And so, That's basically why I think this is important to point out. I don't mean to keep hounding on the same subject all the time, but when I see a new wrinkle in this, I think it's important to point out, because we are so dependent on our smartphones or our computers as a behavior, and we have become so information addicted and dependent that I want to make sure that the average person who might not be as savvy is being alerted as to what's going on in that world. Because sadly, while it's a great thing to have access to all this information instantaneously, literally at our fingertips, it's also very scary to see how it's being gathered, how it's not being gathered, how it's being confirmed or how it's not being confirmed, how it's being conveyed or communicated, or how it's being manipulated before it's being communicated, and how it's so much easier today to create fake news, to create fake misinformation, and how easy it is for the average person to be tricked by it, fooled by it, to not be aware, to have your own little red flags up, to have kind of your own little self-editor, self-buffer now in your head. Because today, information is not only dispensed quickly, it is shared instantly as well. And that's what's scary. If somebody by accident, which can happen as well, or deliberately creates or shares or dispenses fake or misinformation out there for whatever their motives may be, it's important that we now, as the general public, become a lot more vigilant and a lot more savvy to say, oh, wait a minute. Is this something that I want to tell someone else about? I mean, look, we all love being the first person to tell somebody something, right? Hey, did you see this? I mean, that's part of our DNA as well. As I've said many times before, you know, the internet and social media has basically turned the whole world into one big water cooler. I mean, it's one big gossip column now. The world is one big connected gossip column. 8 billion people, in theory, have have the ability to gossip 24 hours a day. That's a pretty scary thought, even though it is theoretically true. Before, the most gossip that happened was in our little circle here. And yeah, it could be damaging for a while, but it wasn't globally spread. And now it is. And so, oh yeah, no, you know what? And how many times have you heard, well, you heard this juicy story about something or someone, and then someone will call you up and say, oh yeah, you know, they were wrong about that. It wasn't da-da-da, it was blah-blah-blah. And okay, maybe you told three or four people, and okay, it wasn't earth-shattering, and okay, I move on. We can't corral that misinformation as easily anymore. And there are people there that have legitimately, adverse, negative motives for doing that. Whether it's, you know, catfishing or scamming that we see online now, on your phones, through texts. You know, these are criminal acts, or there's some, political motives behind it. Whatever the motives may be, sadly, as I said, human behavior must always be checked, and always we must be vigilant about it. This is not, sadly, a world of rainbows, and puppy dogs, and we constantly strive for that world. It's never been a part of human existence, but that's always our kind of, ultimate goal, even as unrealistic as it is. And that viewpoint may be one reason why we have never been able to really, solve many of the problems that we've had throughout the generations are pretty much the same when it comes to behavior, because that's the way we act. And we have certainly progressed in some ways, but other ways we haven't moved one inch. And I've said that many times. But what I saw happen in the last week or so really scared me, because it was a very clear example of not only what I've been talking about in the gradual decline and the diluting of journalism and journalistic principles that guide how information is not only gathered but reported. But what's even more scary about this was not only was this a huge breakdown in the journalistic method, but there was such a casual, almost oblivious reaction to it. Like those in charge or those dispensing the information, even after this false information was conveyed around the world, there wasn't any major reaction to it. Like, oh my gosh, I made a mistake. I mean, think about in your own life. Okay, look, nobody's perfect. We all make mistakes on a daily basis. And when we do something wrong, whether it's been an accident or, whether we sincerely thought we were doing something correct and it turned up being wrong, the first thing we do is we go, oh my gosh, oh wait, oh, that's wrong. Oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to do that, right? We try to correct that as quickly as possible. Oh my gosh, I know I made a mistake. I'm sorry if I did something that because of my action, did something negative to you. Oh, I'm sorry, let me fix that. You know, we quickly, hopefully, we should, I mean, that's the goal. We should, as soon as we see something that we have contributed to do something wrong that might affect someone else, we should, identify it, apologize for it, and do what we can to stop it at that time. And then in our own heads, make sure that we don't do it again. Right? I mean, those are kind of the key aspects when we do something wrong. We quickly want to, especially if it affects someone else, we want to apologize for it. We want to correct it as quick as possible. We want to reinstate whatever the status quo was before we did it. Oh wait, let me fix. Let me clean that up. Oh, I spilled you know, some wine on your, you know, some red wine on your white couch. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. What can I do here? Well, here, let me clean this up. So we apologize. We clean it up. We try to make, and ultimately we want to do is we want to make the situation the same as it was before we made our mistake. And we feel bad about it. And in our minds, then we say, okay, I'm not going to put that wine glass the next time. I'm not going to put it at the edge of the table because it's easy for me to tip it over. So there's a whole, even all that, it happens so instantaneously, we don't even maybe think about what we're doing. But that's kind of the steps that we do. We quit, if we do something that affects someone else, we apologize for it. We point it out. We try to fix it. And then we make sure that it doesn't happen again. And we do our best in order to make sure that what we did, if we can, we can restore it back. Oh, I'm sorry. I knocked your bag out of your hand. Let me pick it up for you. Let me put the stuff back in the bag and let me hand it back to you. Okay, I made a mistake. I tripped you or I nudged you and your bag fell. Thankfully, nothing broke. Let me help you put the items back in the bag, give it to you. And I've tried as much as I can to alleviate the problem that I caused you and put you back flush where you were before I came along and did that, right? But what I've been seeing now in the media and in the course of our communication of information, of which, as I said before, we are so dependent on now in this world. The world is one big gossip column, one big gossip place. So we've got to make sure more than ever that what we're seeing is true. What we're passing on to other people is true. But more important than that, what we've got to be able to identify now, that's usually the thing. Hey, I got some juicy gossip. Oh, really? What is it? Pop, 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 pop. And the first thing that we usually do is go, really? You mean da, 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 da? Well, that's what I heard. Wow, that's hard to believe. Well, I know, but blah, blah, blah told me. You know, just think about how you gossip. And we all do it. Give me a break. We all spread information about things and people, whatever, right? We all do it. So let's just get past that. Like, well, I don't. Okay, yes, you do. Now, think about the process. If you think about it, in many ways, we are all, even before this internet and social media, we were all kind of mini reporters to begin with, right? We saw firsthand, or we were told some information, we considered it, blah, blah, blah told me this happened, or I just saw this happen, so what did I really see, or what did I really just hear, did that really happen, and if you think it's valid, yeah, I saw that person go into that store, and then when they came out, somebody yelled and said, help me, I've been robbed. And that other person ran away, the first person. I think that that person may have been the robber. Hello, Mr. Policeman. I just saw a robbery. Okay, you're a reporter in that case, right? Yes, you're a witness. They call you a witness. But you're really a reporter. You observed some act. You made a determination as to what it might be. And then you took that information that you took in and you went to someone else and told them about it. Well, that's basically what a reporter does, right? Hey, I'm at this hurricane. I saw the roof blow off, and I'm going to tell you about it. And here's what happened. The winds were blowing, blah, 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 blah. I mean, we're all in many ways in our daily lives. We have been mini reporters in many ways. Now, the difference isn't today than it was 40 years ago or 50 years ago, certainly. Even 40 years ago. The internet's really, as a mass platform or outlet. It's only been about 30 years or so. Early to mid 90s is when it really took hold with email and things like that. Yeah, you know, mid 90s. It's only 30 years, not that long. Some people might say, well, it's been my lifetime. Well, yeah, okay, I understand that. But still, in the grand scheme of things, 30 years is not all that long. And that's the problem is now before we could do more damage because of the access that we have. Before, if we told a piece of information that turned out to be completely wrong, it may have impacted somebody in a small circle, but it didn't impact somebody around the world. I don't know sometimes if we really realize the access and the power that we have when we are making a simple post on an Instagram page, or we look at it like it's like we're talking to our friends, right? Is that in your mind when you post something? I would think that our first inclination in our minds is, oh, I want to share this with my friends, with people that know me, that people are who are following me, right? My friends, whatever you want to call them, my followers, whatever you want to call them. Oh, I just went on a vacation. Oh, my son just graduated, but whatever it is. We still have this kind of misconception that what we're sharing on those pages is going to a small group of people, but it isn't. It's literally available for everybody in the world, in theory, who has access to a computer at any time of the day. Now, the chances of anybody finding your information might be kind of low in the grand scheme, but that doesn't matter because, as I said before, in AI now, if you say, oh, I'm looking for a photo of a beautiful beach in Aruba, that's going to go out to the whole internet in an instant and find all pictures of Aruba. And there's a good chance that your picture that you innocently posted on your Facebook or Instagram page because you wanted to let your friends know that you just went to Aruba, that could be suddenly accessed by anyone in the world. And now they see you smiling with your family on the beach in Aruba. That's happening. At least the chances for it to happen are real. So do you really want people to see anybody, any stranger, to see you and your friends and your family enjoying a time at Aruba? Just know that when you post your vacation pictures, somebody around, other than another person who you have know who they are, who live thousands of miles away from you, can see that photo. And while they may be able to see it and say, oh, that's a nice photo, somebody else might look at it and say, and they might have some nefarious motives behind them. We have to be vigilant on this now. And so I'm bringing all this up because, as I said before, it's not only the information that we need to question, but more importantly, in today's world now, because it's so easy to spread information, to share it, and many times it could be the truth, many times it can be false. And it's even getting more difficult for people that are savvy in the online world or in the news gathering world to even tell. That's how scary it's getting, because now you're putting in and inserting this AI function, which is even my cursory experience and cursory knowledge of it. I'm like, wow, I don't even know how this is working. I don't even have any idea the full extent of which it is I am seeing or I'm being affected by it. But the stuff that I can even identify, I go, wow, okay. But the news gathering now is even more important than ever because it is so simple and so easy to spread misinformation or, yes, fake news. Whether you are a fan of Donald Trump or not, he kind of coined that phrase. You may look at it as a Trumpism and then negative and you kind of put it away. But my point is that there is fake news out there. And it could, it doesn't have to be created by the mainstream media. It does, it, that's not, doesn't have to be a Trumpian kind of term. There are people out there deliberately creating fake news to manipulate the public and further their own agendas on anything. That's the power that the individual has now that didn't always occur. And so when you just casually go online and start scrolling down and looking at stuff, you have to start looking at it at with a much closer, and yes, I know we all want the world to be rainbows and puppy dogs, but I'm telling you, you better start to look at it with a little more of a skeptical eye. You can't be as naive as you once were. The genie's out of the bottle. And the news gathering, or even more importantly now, the term, the news generating aspect is something that everybody has to be aware of and skeptical of, because we are all now ingesting, digesting, and dispensing information to each other on a daily basis. And we can no longer rely on the fact that that information is true, that that information has been thoroughly confirmed or investigated before it's been put out. And sadly, we can no longer rely on the fact that even if we go to a quote-unquote reputable news source, we can no longer rely on the fact that that information has been thoroughly investigated, checked, and confirmed before it's been put out. And that's the scariest part of all. You know, if your next door neighbor does something and creates something that's false or whatever, you go, okay, well, that's Tom, that's Nancy, you know them. Always be skeptical about what they tell you, right? Whoever is your friend or your neighborhood gossip, well, it's no different. The only problem now is that your neighborhood gossip could be in New Zealand. Not 200 feet away, but 2,000 feet away, miles away. Before, your neighborhood gossip, as I said before, can be somewhat contained, and you kind of took everything with a grain of salt that person said. We all knew, well, you know about Tom, or you know about Nancy. You can't really trust anything they say. Well, now, the whole world is one big gossip. The whole world is one big neighborhood gossip. And the gossip that you might be getting might not be from a neighbor, like I said before, 2 miles away. It could be someone that's 2,000 miles away in New Zealand or Australia or Singapore creating that. And you have no way of knowing. The news gathering, and as I said before, even more importantly in today's world, the news generating is what we have to be careful about. And I've been kind of screaming, and sort of in my mind, I kind of feel like I'm just a voice out in the forest screaming this, and making it sound like the world is ending, and nobody's paying attention, and it's kind of frustrating because I continue to see more examples of what I say and what I'm warning about come to fruition. And what's frustrating is I still don't see anybody all that affected by it. And so here's something that happened that maybe you might say, well, this is frivolous. Well, it might be frivolous on its face, but let me show you where the breakdown in the communication of it happens. And as I said before, almost the apathy of the mistake. And so then extrapolate that and say, well, if this somewhat unimportant thing is been misdirected or miscommunicated or misreported, then what about something that's really important to my life or our lives? If that same process is being invoked or used on some frivolous thing that turned out to not be true, then that same process is also being used on every other communication that could have life or death implications. And the same breakdown is most likely going to happen. Garbage in, garbage out, right? Very simple. So here's the thing. And I had firsthand knowledge of it. Well, not knowledge, but firsthand experience with this. This is not something that I read about or heard about. This is something that I witnessed firsthand. And I'm going to give you the kind of the breakdown of what I did and even show that as much as I think that I'm, media savvy is enough, I was duped. But the difference is I was able to quickly see it, maybe faster than anybody else, and then realize, okay. And I don't know how. So my point is, this is something that you might say, well, this is so, who cares? This is dumb. But this will show you the process that is now being used. And so now take it to another thing and say, well, what happens if there's some other piece of information that isn't frivolous, that isn't silly, that is life and death? If this is the new process, then we got to question whether what we're seeing is true or false. And we've got to be more vigilant. So here's what happened. About a week and a half or so ago, look, I've been listening to the radio personality Howard Stern for more than 30 years. Ever since he came onto the radio as a syndicated show in Chicago, I've been listening to him. So it's probably over 30 years. He started to appear here in the Chicago area, I think in the early 90s, 93, 94, something like that. On a station at the time called WCKG. I've always heard about Howard Stern. I heard about him in the mid-80s from New York, even though we had no access to him here in Chicago. In the late 80s and early 90s, then he appeared on the E! Network on cable. The radio show was broadcast. I started to watch that, and then it started to appear here on the radio. And it's been a gradual more access. And then, of course, he left terrestrial radio in the early 2000s. And now he's been on satellite radio for almost 20 years now. And I've been listening pretty much that whole time. So it's been over 30 years that I've been listening to Howard Stern. Now, you could, you could debate whether you like him or not. That's not the point. And, he's this, he's that. That's beside the point. Just giving you some background to understand the story. So, about maybe a month or so ago, there were stories in online especially, which then found their way to television and radio. But it first broke online that, Howard Stern's been at Sirius Satellite for more than 20 years, and that his latest contract, which is due to expire at the end of this year, either was not going to be renewed, or that there were some serious questions of whether it'd be renewed. And for the people that listened to him, this was a big deal. The guy makes $100 million a year. It's a big story in that little world, right? Some people might say, who cares about Howard Stern? Well, I'm just telling you. In today's world, the smallest thing is blown up into a big story because, well, that's what gossip does, right? So suddenly, especially in the summer, when the dog days of summer in August, when there's not a lot to be reported on, which, once again, you have to remember that. When there's something that happens that sort of becomes a sensation, you have to always see when. I mean, to me, this was a skeptical story from the beginning because it was in the dog days of August when people are either on their vacations or people are getting ready for school. And so it's kind of news time-wise. Once again, this is just an insight for somebody who's been in the news business their whole life. August is kind of viewed as kind of the dog days of summer, even for the news business. Overall, summer is, because people aren't as attentive, even with their phones, they're not as attentive as they might be in the winter and spring months, when people are more hibernating or they're around things like that more. Even though, as I said before, behaviors change, and we're changed when we're looking at our phones on a minute by minute basis. But still, you know, you're distracted easily, more easily in the summer. You've got plans, you've got doing this, you're going out here, you're on vacation. You might not be as diligent as you are at other times of the year. So usually it's a you know, accepted kind of thing that August is kind of a slow news month, because, you know, those last minute vacations, getting ready for school, there's a lot of distractions in August as we prepare for fall and things start to sort of get a little more tighter in our worlds. Vacations are over, school is starting. There's a little more order to our world starting in September or in the fall. In the summer, things get a little loosey-goosey, right? Whew. We give a collective sigh. It's summer. It's warm out. It's fun. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. You know, in the winter or the fall during the week, you might not do much. You wait till the weekend to do something. But in the summer, it's Tuesday. And hey, who cares? I'm going to go do something that I might not have normally done until the weekend. Our social schedules, our mindset is just a little looser. It's a little more relaxed. And with August being the last month of the summer, by all intents and purposes, that's kind of the mindset. So August is always considered a slow news month, meaning that the news outlets are a little more hungry for something to fill their space with. And it's in those times when it's easy to manipulate the news media, because they're hungry for news. They're not inundated with news in August, so they are looking for news, and they're more likely to be quicker to report that news because they need to fill that space now. When there's a lot of news happening, suddenly news stories get prioritized. And so this one bit of gossipy stuff may not have gotten reported for 2 or 3 days, say in January. But in August, it gets reported within minutes, because there's just not a lot on the docket. So what happens then? The process of the news gathering, the confirmation, the investigation sort of gets a little bypassed in favor of getting it out there. And if the internet has done one thing, it has sped up the news cycle. The news cycle doesn't even exist anymore, really. There's not a cycle anymore. It's 24 hours, and we have such a short attention span. It's not even 24 hours anymore. We're on to the next thing, whatever. As I said many times, we are now a society that we are just attracted by the new shiny object. There used to be a thing called the news cycle, but you can't even count on that anymore because of the speed of the internet. And then, once again, you can't underestimate this AI thing. That thing works at not even lightning speed. You can't even calculate the speed of which AI can work and gather information and dispense it. So we are in a very, as I said before, kind of dangerous time for fake information to get out there. And this is why I'm trying to at least, you know, give you a heads up to be a little more, diligent. So there's a story out there in mid to late August that Howard Stern is going to either be fired from Sirius, or he's going to be, immediately, or his contract is not going to be renewed, or if it is renewed, it's going to be for a lot less money. There's stories as to why. You know, he's out of touch. He's 71 years old. The podcasting world is overcoming him. He's jealous about podcasters are having more influence than him. The numbers of his possible listeners have been over exaggerated for years. His political leanings, he's become more woke. And so with Stephen Colbert being fired from The Late Show, now it's Howard Stern's fault because he's also anti-Trump and he's considered woke now. All these, so suddenly the story just, you know, blossoms overnight. And people who have never even heard of Howard Stern or care, as I said before, about Howard Stern, suddenly are inundated online with Howard Stern stories. And they're all gloom and doom. And there's no real confirmation from Stern or Sirius or anybody of credible knowledge as to what's going on. When you see these stories about it, it's all unnamed sources, you know, friends of friends, eyewitnesses, but there's nobody on the record to say, I talked to Howard, he told me this. A lot of speculation. But in a time when there's a slow news cycle or a news period, then the media, especially today, are a lot more willing to go with a half-baked story that might get some clicks and views, because that's all we're worried about. Whether you like or know of Howard Stern, that doesn't matter. There's a good number of people who do. And hey, if I'm a reporter, I might even have a, not only is there an overriding kind of unmentioned pressure to generate news and stories constantly, especially in today's world, but for all you know, the editor in your newsroom, or even if you're working, you know, remotely, your boss might say, look, you have to come up with, you're responsible for posting 20 stories today or 5 stories today, whatever it is. You might have a quota. And so if this comes by, you get a tip or something, you've got to fill your quota. And especially in a slow news time, like late August, you know, you might not be as diligent about checking those facts of getting confirmation before you post it. You might cut some corners because you've got some pressure on yourself to get something out there. And your organization has made it clear that they want to be the first ones to break stories. And as I said, now everybody has access. Everybody can do that. I mean, you know, TMZ is considered a news source today. Okay? It's not the Associated Press. It's not the United Press International. It's not CBS News Gathering. It's TMZ. It's basically a gossip TV show. A gossip TV show is now considered a viable, reportable news source, which started as a gossip online site and then moved into a gossip TV show. But it was gossip. It was Hollywood news and gossip. And suddenly, TMZ now is viewed as a viable news source. That's where we're at now. So once again, you have to be careful. You have to read. Don't just read a headline. If you see something that intrigues you and you see a headline, take the extra time to click that and read it and see what the sources are. If they're unnamed sources, if it's TMZ, if it's something like that, the National Enquirer, remember that thing? The tabloid, you might already begin to question it. At least in your own mind, before you tell somebody else. But here's the scary part. Here's where this Howard Stern story takes a very scary turn here. Because when I go into a story and I see blind sources or unnamed sources or TMZ or something like that, I'm skeptical about believing it. I'm skeptical about telling someone else about it. But when I see quote unquote reputable news sources like AP, the Associated Press, which is basically a news service that has its own reporters that go out and get information, and they supply that information to many of the news gathering sources out there, the traditional medias, the newspapers, the television stations, and the radio stations. They all rely heavily on AP, Associated Press. That is considered a very trustworthy, for centuries, viable, reliable news source, which every traditional media outlet uses and has used. If you ever see, according to AP, according to Associated Press, they have their own set of reporters. I mean, come on, one news organization can't cover everything. So there are these satellite news gathering agencies like UPI, AP, which have their own force of reporters are out there, who then generate stories, and they, for a fee, they supply that information to the other traditional news organizations. When you ever hear, you know, we got that news from The Wire. Okay, that's not really a phrase anymore, but it used to be. Well, The Wire was the news wire, and the news wire was either, you know, PR news wire, literally, or AP or UPI. There were machines in newsrooms that were continually spitting out news. These news gathering information were spitting, were getting stories, gathering news, and sending them across on their own, you know, dedicated machine, the AP machine, and that's where news gathering information institutions like newspapers and radio stations and TV stations would get a lot of their news. Yes, they had their own investigative reporters who went out and did stories, but they also, to augment it, there was this other satellite news service that also provided them with extra news that they couldn't possibly do with reporters and bureaus all over the world. So when you see something with, according to Associated Press, there's some validity behind that. When you see something about, according to Time Magazine or Newsweek, in the past, these were considered trustworthy, well-investigated, well-confirmed, valid news sources by which you could say, well, nothing is, you know, I can't be 1,000% sure, but according to AP, and you'll always see, according to AP, according to this, according to that, and those are usually, and have been for a great period of time in news gathering, as the official, not even unofficial, the official, you know, kind of valid news source. When AP put it out, there was an understanding that it was researched and it was confirmed before it was dispensed. That was the expectation. That was the service that they promised to provide, and that's why they were being paid for. And so those who had access to the AP newswire in their newsrooms, when there was a story that went over the AP, they felt 99.9% confident that the news that was in that report up to that point was true or verifiable or validated or confirmed, because the understanding was AP would not put anything that wasn't thoroughly checked and confirmed before it was put out. That's kind of the real and the social contract that was going on, and that's how we were getting most of our information for the last 150 years. But my problem is you can't even count on that anymore. That system, that reliability, that unwritten and written expectation of research and confirmation, you can't count on it anymore. The journalistic chain has been broken. The journalistic process is broken. The journalistic system has been broken. I've said many times, I wonder if journalism even exists anymore. And that's a scary thing for someone like me to say, who's been a news junkie, who worked in journalism, and who respects and honors the journalistic principles, and who is trained in those. And to see them be not only broken, but broken, and no one seems to care. And that's why now we, as the public, we have to be more vigilant on ourselves. We have to take it upon ourselves. You can no longer accept or be positive that what you're reading is real, because I'm telling you, the journalistic process has been diluted, or in some cases has been obliterated. And nobody seems to care about it, even those in the so-called journalism world. So, as I said, the story gets out. Of course, now, in the slow kind of news time, it gains momentum. So much so that Howard Stern has to make a comment, finally, after being quiet about it for several days or even a week. Makes a big announcement and says, okay, he's off for 2 months in the summer. He hasn't been on. So that's why he couldn't immediately refute this, because he wasn't on. He's off from like July 1st to September 1st. Traditionally now, the last several years, due to his contract, he gets a couple of months off. So this story conveniently came out when he could not immediately either confirm it or refute it on his daily radio show or satellite radio show, right? So you have to automatically question this story, because it was conveniently put out in a time when it's a slow news time. And so the press might be more willing to run with it without being as vigilant as they should be. It also came out at a time when Howard Stern, who has access to, at least in theory, several million people a day, could come on the next day and say, and immediately address it and either confirm it or refute it. But he's not on the air. So right away, that story, in my mind, when it first broke that he's being fired, that he might not, you know, that he might either be fired immediately or his country. I looked at this with a skeptical eye, knowing what I just told you. Now, the average person might not have that insight. But when I saw this, I didn't believe it. I saw unnamed sources. I considered the time when it was released. And I saw the fact that it was released at a very opportune time when he would not have the access to immediately refute it or deny it as soon as it came out on his daily radio show. So I was already skeptical of this. And as it went on, the skepticism got even stronger. To the point where, but now this story was all over the internet, all over social media. So Howard Stern made an announcement on September 2nd, when I return from my vacation, I will discuss all this stuff that's been being reported in the news. So being a regular listener for the last 30 years, on the day after Labor Day, I woke up and turned on my radio at 6 a.m. to hear the announcement. And interestingly enough, there was just regular reruns that had been playing for the last 2 months while he wasn't on. And I was like, what the heck's going on? Did I miss something? Why isn't he on? They were heralding this. They had teasers on Sirius. September 2nd, Howard Stern will tell all. Howard Stern will tell all. Well, September 2nd came and the reruns were still running. And then suddenly, there were reports that now it was going to be September 8th. And there was no really explanation as to why, which only fueled the skepticism. Or fueled this story that, oh, well, you know, maybe his contract, maybe he's gone. The contract, maybe they did fire him. The lack of information only builds the credibility, or only keeps a story alive. That's why if you have information about something, you need to tell it fast. Because without, the void gets filled by more speculation. But here's the thing. Even someone like me, right? Supposedly media savvy, when I tuned in on September 2nd and I didn't hear the live show, I heard more reruns. What did I do? Well, I'm listening to the radio. There's no announcements on Sirius. This is a whole different thing. Mindset. This is, goes to show you, as I said, I'm not impervious to all this stuff that I'm, this behavior that I'm talking about. I'm in it as well. I check my phones, stuff like that. I do it. I'm just pointing it out. What did I do? I didn't turn on CNN. I didn't turn on the local news. I didn't go to a newspaper site. I didn't turn on another radio station. No, I went to my computer first as my first news source. In the past, I would have checked, let me turn CNN on. Let me turn one of the all news stations on. Let me turn on the radio on the news station, see what's going on. Let me pick up the newspapers. Is there something in there? No, I didn't go to any of those three traditional news outlets. Me, someone who's been reading newspapers and watching TV and listening to radio since they were 7 or 8 years old for news. Those suddenly did not become the first places I've gone now. I'm no different than anyone else. There's great power in that internet machine. So I went there. The speed and the access to it, much easier. Even if they are reporting it on a radio station, maybe they already just said it and I missed it. The newspaper, well, that as soon as ink hits paper, that thing's outdated. And once again, I turn on a 24-hour news. Maybe they already announced it. I missed it. I can't miss it on the in the internet. When I make a request, my request is specific and it comes to me instantly. So that was the first place I went to. And that's what most people do now. So right off the bat, traditional media is no longer the first place people go to. It's already lost its prominence and its reliability. The internet now is the place we go because of speed and because of convenience. Instant access. We all got it in our hands. We don't have to keep watching to see if they're going to report it now. You know, how many times if you're in a car and there's a lot of traffic, you say, well, I'm going to put on the all news radio station to see where the traffic is. Well, yeah, but you know, is there an accident on this roadway that I'm on? Well, you got to wait until the nines. Well, I don't want to wait until the nines. So now I can go on an app and look at traffic. That's the speed and the intimacy and the instant information that we have access to in the palm of our hands because of those phones. So I go online and I type in, why isn't Howard Stern on today? And suddenly I find different sites and I'm not seeing anything. Then suddenly something pops up. Oh, I just saw on the Howard Stern Facebook page or something that now he's going to make an announcement on September 8th. And then all of a sudden you start to see that more. But my point is, I went to another news source, not the traditional news sources, first. And I got my information from now the internet and social media, which was confirmed. But but when I read that first, I couldn't take that for granted. I then had to go to the source that person said they saw it at. And then I confirmed it. I can't just take what I read online on first blush as truth. You have to take the next step. And that's what I'm saying. We all need to take the next one or two steps on anything we see online. We've got to become our own investigative reporters. We cannot take news now on first blush that it's true. At the very least, we all have to become our own reporters, our own editors. We have to do our own research. If you see something online, you can't just share it immediately. You've got to do a little due diligence yourself now, because what you're sharing could be adverse and harmful information to somebody personally. You never know. Even something as casual that you think, if you're sharing it and it's wrong, it could have a detrimental effect. Sadly, the world now has to be trained as a reporter. We used to be able to rely on others to do that job, but that behavior has to change because the system is broke down. The journalistic principles and the journalistic system has broke down. And that's not easy for me to say. And look, I've got friends who still work in the journalism world. I still have friends who teach in the journalism world. And for me to say that journalism is dead or that it's severely broken, I'm not trying to that's not easy for me to admit. And I'm not trying to say anything negative about my friends who are still in those worlds. But I also think it's important to point out what's happening. Because some of the people that have a vested interest might not be as quick to admit it. But we have to look at the reality and not what we hope to be true or want to be true. So, now this story, which I was skeptical about anyway, from the beginning in early August, now has legs. Now it's been almost a month and there's been very little confirmable information. Not only that, but then when Howard Stern does make an announcement, I'm going to talk about this on the second, for some unexplained reason, and nobody, Sirius doesn't comment, Howard Stern doesn't comment, we've got no valid valid sources, the announcement has been delayed a week. Well, that's never good news, right? Especially when there's no real validated information as to why it was released. It only fuels the speculation. And so now everybody who's concerned about the story has to wait another week. And here's where the scary thing happens. On September 8th, once again, I wake up at 6 a.m. and I turn on the Howard Stern show. And now I'm like, okay, if he's not on now, something's really serious here, right? I mean, you've been listening to this for a month. There was one delayed announcement with no explanation. He's got to come on today and say something. 6 a.m. starts. I'm listening live. No Howard Stern. Andy Cohen, who you might know from the producer and the creator of the Housewives show of Beverly Hills in New York and all those other things on Bravo. You know, he's always on New Year's Eve with Anderson Cooper on CNN. He's a big media personality, very successful with all these bad reality shows. I don't watch one of them. I'm not interested in Andy Cohen, but that's personal. You can love those shows. You can love Andy Cohen, whatever. Anyway, Andy Cohen is also hosts a radio show on his own channel on Sirius. And he's actually involved with Howard. He appears on Howard's show. Howard, supports him. They've had some little interesting, little tensions in their relationship. You don't know if those are real or not. But anyway, he's considered a friend of the show. And he's certainly a well-promoted personality on Sirius, one of their leading personalities to get you to subscribe. Howard Stern, Andy Cohen, different podcast, Alex Cooper now, who's the big, podcaster. So they're trying to get you to subscribe with these high profile people. Andy Cohen has been certainly somebody that has been hugely promoted by Sirius as being one of their leading, attractions as to come in over and subscribe to Sirius. Well, Andy Cohen comes on and basically says, I know you're all expecting to hear Howard today, but, things have not happened the way we'd expected. And so now, I'm going to be in this spot and we wish Howard luck and he's going on and we expected a cleaner passage of this, but this is the way it is. And I hope that you Howard Stern listeners will give me a chance. And basically he's announcing that he's taking Howard Stern's place, that Howard Stern is no longer on Sirius, that Andy Cohen will be on this station now, Andy 100 on the 100 dial. That's usually been Howard's station. It's now going to be called Andy 100, and he's now the new person on that station, and Howard Stern is gone. And I'm like, is this real? Could this be real? And I'm listening and he's continuing to talk and I'm waiting for Howard Stern to come on and say, this is a joke. And it's now 5 minutes and 10 minutes. And I'm like, and they're taking calls and people are complaining. And so now what do I do? Well, what do I do again? I go to my first news source. I don't go to the radio. I don't go to the newspaper. I don't go to the television. I go to the internet and I press and I type in on Google, why isn't Howard Stern on September 8th? Same question I said September 2nd. And what do I see pop up? A Googled, as I said before, initial response before some actual sites where I can get information. The first, that little Google summary that I tell you about, that AI generated summary that says, Howard Stern is no longer on Sirius. Andy Cohen is taking his place. This is listed as fact. This isn't, it seems as if, this is Andy Cohen has replaced Howard Stern. Howard Stern is no longer on Sirius. That's what AI says. I don't believe that. I go to some other information sites, kind of posting sites like Reddit, and I'm seeing people and nobody knows what's going on. Here's the scary part, though. This is the scariest part. Okay, there's this lack of information. Andy Cohen is still blathering on, saying he's filling in for, and the first reports that I'm getting online say that, yes, indeed, Howard Stern is officially gone, and Andy Cohen is filling in. I got that by just listening. I'm going now to a news source to see if this is confirmed. I witnessed this personally firsthand. I turned on the radio at 6 a.m., and Howard Stern wasn't on. And now I'm looking for some validated, confirmed information. And the first information that I get is an AI-generated summary that it went out into the internet world and got information and put this together and tells me what I just heard. Andy Cohen is on, Howard Stern is off. Based on what Andy Cohen said on the radio, not based on, according to representatives who work for Sirius, not based on information given out by Howard Stern, but basically the same situation that I saw was immediately reported. When I see something, I have to question whether it's real. I go to a news source to see if it's been confirmed. Just because I saw this doesn't mean it's real yet. There needs to be the journalistic process of researching it, getting one or two sources to confirm it, and then putting it out as confirmed news. That's the way the journalistic system goes. There's a scientific method that we rely on our vaccines and our medicines that must go through in our scientific knowledge. There's a scientific method. Control groups, this is the way it takes time. There's a journalistic method that needs to be taken before the news is dispensed. That's what's broken down. That's what isn't used anymore. And that's when bad news, fake news, misinformation gets out and is spread around the world. In today's world, literally around the world in an instant. But here's the scary part. Not only is the AI generating the same information that I saw or witnessed by listening to the show, giving me no confirmation, but those in the journalistic world who I'm supposed to rely on, including the Associated Press, this reliable 100-and-some-year venerable news-gathering organization, which by its existence is supposed to connote validity and reliability for its news sources, it's inherently the expectation is that this has been researched and confirmed before it's been put out. Not TMZ, not some crazy internet sites, not Rotten Tomatoes or whatever these goofy things are out there that are just created in somebody's basement, which has somehow gotten validity in today's horrible, internet fake news world. But AP, you can't get much more reliable than the Associated Press. Or so we thought. I woke up in the morning and listened and heard Andy Cohn talking about he was replacing Howard Stern and Howard Stern was gone from Sirius. From my kitchen when I'm listening to this, I don't have the access to confirm. I'm not calling up Sirius to confirm. I'm not finding some sources that might be close to Howard Stern to confirm this. I don't have Andy Cohen's text number to confirm, is this real? I'm relying on the news sources out there that have those connections, whose job it is to confirm and research the information before it puts it out. That's the social contract. But what I'm seeing online here, being reported as fact, is what I simply observed from my own eyes, in my own ears. Where's the news gathering? Where's the research? Where's the confirmation before it's put out? This was just based on quick observation and boom, the entire process subverted. I heard Andy Cohen say that he's filling in for Howard Stern. I'm putting it up there. And boom, it's news. And here's the scary part. Associated Press did the same thing. Because today there is such a rush to be the first one out there. AP has lost its credibility in my mind on something stupid as who cares in the grand scheme if Howard Stern is off Sirius. It's not important. I agree. Who cares? But what's important is if they could screw up this stupid, easy story to confirm, if they can report this with complete inaccuracy, with complete contempt, if you will, for the journalistic process to research and confirm before you dispense, if they could screw up so badly on a stupid story, what are they doing on their important stories? And that's what's scary, because you know what? In the end, after 15 or 20 minutes, they went to a commercial break and Howard Stern returned and said it was a hoax. Meanwhile, Variety, which is the leading entertainment trade publication, which should have some validity to it. Variety's been around for at least 100 years or several decades. It's viewed as a reputable and dependable news source, which in the entertainment world, clearly it's not. They listened to Andy Cohn. They, after 10 minutes or 15 minutes, they said, hey, this has to be true. This can't be a hoax. This can't be a joke. They wouldn't let this be going on for 10 or 15 minutes. But do you think if they called Howard Stern sources and they didn't get any confirmation, instead of waiting to get that confirmation, they went with the story. They based it clearly on observation. No journalism, no journalistic principles at all, except first view observation, which is the worst thing to do. Ask any lawyer. An eyewitness is a good thing, but it's also unreliable. Variety listened to Andy Cohen. They may have made their due diligence calls, but you don't put a story out until you get the confirmation. I don't care if Andy Cohen has been on for an hour. Until somebody tells you from Sirius or Howard Stern, yes, I am done, you don't print that story. But within 5 minutes, Variety put a story out. And apparently, I would assume then, AP sees this and say, well, wait, if Variety put it out, it must be true. They're going on the same information we got. We're not getting any confirmation here, but we got to get that story out. And so then they print it. AP, the trusted news organization. And then what happens? CNBC, a television 24-hour news network goes on and they report it because they got the information from either Variety or AP. And they say, well, if they said it, it must be true. And here we go. The gossip, the water cooler gossip now is spreading around the world based on no fact, based on no validity, based on no confirmation. News is getting out there and people are reacting to it. And it's going around the world. And this is something stupid and irrelevant. Who cares if Howard Stern is on or not? But the point is that a stupid story isn't even confirmed. And it gets out. And so what happens then? Here's the scariest part. That AP story, when Howard Stern comes back and says it was a joke, it was a prank, it was a hoax. Of course I'm back. We got Andy Cohen to do that. Thank you, Andy. It was funny. We let it run another 20. We let it run longer than we would have to just see if people would believe it. But we're back. And now Howard Stern's getting a kick out of it because he saw that the media fell for it. Not only did the public fall for it, but the media fell for it. It's the media's job to be skeptical, to research it and confirm this before printing it. But they don't even do it. Because in this rush to be first, accuracy is down the drain. Speed is first. They throw anything up there, and then they just say, oh, well, it wasn't true. And that's their view. Like, well, now, okay, well, so here's CNBC, these two anchors, they're saying, well, Howard Stern, well, now they're commenting and they're bringing their own opinion. Well, you know, he's been on a long time, but now they're injecting their own and just feeding this fake story, which is not only a fake story, but it's actually a joke and a hoax, which makes, you know, just raises Howard Stern's, prominence here, because now he put one over on the media, not only on his fans, but on the media. Now he's getting free publicity about his story. Now he's controlling the story again. And then all of a sudden on CNBC, after a while, now they find out that they've been hoodwinked, and they go, but they didn't say we apologize. We didn't fully. They were just kind of flippant about it. Well, you know, I sort of wondered if it was true. Well, we'll see what happens. And on to the next story. No big deal. We completely failed in our job. We completely did not do our jobs. We just passed on fake information without any kind of research or confirmation. We just went with it because everybody else went with it. And they're fine with that. AP, same thing. That story, Howard Stern was on and already said it's fake, it's a hoax. Andy Cohen, and the AP story was still online as if the story was still valid that he was gone. He's explaining to you that he was just playing a prank on you, but according to AP, for way too long, that story still stayed on its site. It wasn't corrected. Another huge mistake. Not only do you make the mistake, but as soon as that that thing should be taken down immediately, there should be a retraction and an apology. Total egg on their face. A total breakdown of traditional media journalistic principles and process. If they can screw up a stupid story like a Howard Stern prank, then what do they do when there's something really important, folks? Be skeptical. Because unfortunately, there is nothing known as journalism anymore. There really isn't. It's called social media. There should be no college courses called journalism. There should be no schools of journalism. They should be changed immediately to read the School of Social Media, Social Media 101. I'm a social media reporter. I'm not a journalist, because there are principles and processes of journalism. And sadly, in today's world, with AI, with the internet, with the need for speed, the journalistic principles have been thrown away. And what's sad about it is, in many cases, they've been thrown away. And even when they're shown to have been thrown away, there seems to be apathy by those in charge. Oh, well, we made a mistake. No, you didn't just make a mistake. You created the mistake. You didn't do your due diligence and you didn't do your job. All you did was dispense other information. You didn't do your journalistic due diligence to say, even if it is in AP, I better check this myself. Is CNBC, is CNN, are these news gathering places, or are they just places where news is just spewed? Can we count on them to investigate, to research and confirm the news that they tell us about? Or are they just news readers? It seems to me that they're just news readers in today's world. I'm telling you this as a former journalist, as somebody who cares about the validity of information. Be skeptical. Don't take what you read online as truth immediately, because this little stupid radio hoax, to me, exposed a real problem in our news gathering system of today. And it sent a very sad message that media credibility and journalistic principles are either considerably diluted, if not dead. And that means we, the public, need to be more diligent. It's a shame, because we used to have a reliable source as much as we can, the media, filled with journalists who were trained to confirm and research before they passed the information out. And now, not only is that not happening, but they don't even care that it's not happening. Be diligent. Be skeptical. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. And don't forget to tell your friends, tell your family, tell anyone who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. Hope you enjoyed episode number 486. I'm Jim Tirano. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You've been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, from the end of my mind to your ears.